the buzzer. McCord on its way.
Oh my goodness.
They have to get it. With no timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
All right, B-Squared. It's the world's greatest podcast, TBT edition, because the TBT, the first basketball since March 12th, is going to be played. Your boy Junior has a squad, the Big Ten. Just overall, what's your first take? Like, we're actually going to see live competitive basketball this weekend.
Seb, I have a lot of takes on this. One is, let's go through the great job that John Mugar and his crew have done, man. I mean, getting this, running out, for people that don't know, they basically spent $800,000 in terms of safety, player safety. And we're talking about taking over the Hyatt Regency, testing, working with Johns Hopkins in terms of testing, practice courts in the Hyatt Regency where teams can practice, basically doing everything possible. And one of my takes, Seth, is I'm guessing that you're going to see other leagues taking a look at how they're handling this and how it goes. My other take is it's going to be interesting because teams, you mentioned my son's team, he's already lost, at least for the first game, Jayshon Tate to Corona. We lost the two teams, West Virginia team to Corona. We lost yesterday the Jackson, Tennessee team to Corona. There's a lot of moving parts with this, but Seth, I think we're going to see great basketball, and I can't wait for it to come back. What's your takes?
You know, my thing is that now they're in the bubble. I think we're in pretty good shape. I mean, like the teams we lost, they eliminated themselves prior to arriving on campus.
Right.
It was one that he was waiting for tests to come back, but the teams that have been eliminated, anyone that entered the bubble, and we're going to get Albert Hall here a little bit later, anyone who entered the bubble, right, they've been tested multiple times. Now, they're going to be tested five times before they actually compete. Now, they have been practicing, but I think it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. And like you said, I think the NBA is watching. I think the NBA players are watching. I think that international basketball is watching. You know, this is going to be broadcast in 190 countries. 190 countries are going to see the TBT. Think about where it was and where it is despite everything that's going on in the world. We're having the TBT, and I think it's going to be really healthy. Now, I'm going to go through a couple things. You know me. I'm a big guy on lists. What do you think of this? My bucket getter list. William Buford, Jamil Wilson, Markel Brown from the Stillwater team, Mike Don. You got any other bucket getters you expect?
You know what? I'm always – and this is just, you know, this may never happen, but I'm going to give you an addendum to that list. Late bucket getters.
Oh, I like that.
Late. Travis Dean has got to be on that list. We've seen him do that, right? Yep. Eric Devendorf on that list. Our guy Kennedy. No. Joe Johnson. I'm putting Joe Johnson on the late bucket list. Here's what I don't think is going to happen with Joe Johnson, the 18-year vet, Seth. He's old, okay? He's not going to play all game. But late in the game, who are you giving the ball to?
Of all Elamendi, baby. Boom, he'll get all eight.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And Seth, you know this. And the reason I went with late bucket getter is because in the Elam ending, and you've been in the gym, the entire gym is nervous. Like you can, it's palpable or whatever the hell the word is. There's a tension. So you know who is going to really be missed in this? Jerome Randle. Jerome Randle is hurt. He's a little guard.
I'm going to give you an answer for Jerome Randle, though. Tyrese Rice of Team Challenge ALS. He's going to be this year's Jerome Randle.
Well, so people that know Jerome Randle, little guy, been playing overseas for 100 years. Ebeline Drive is a team that was the worst team in the league. They made the championship game a couple years ago. He's out, which when I saw that, I was sad. Like Tyrese Rice is going to go get buckets. But you guys said late buckets. I'll tell you who else gets you a late bucket. And you mentioned Buford, John Diebler shooting the basketball for Ohio State, Carmen's crew. You got to talk about the defending champs. That's a late bucket getter, too. But in this tournament, Seth, late buckets are the thing. Joe Johnson, I can't wait to see this. I really can't because I think guys – all right, let me go through this with you. You said this on my radio show. I think guys believe that because – their resume is such they're going to come in and play to a level that is doesn't have, they can't. Like, a guy that played in the NBA isn't going to dominate this, at least because these guys that played in Europe are playing hard, playing for something, and are pros. I'm anxious to see. This is the first real star, Joe Johnson, we've had in this tournament. I can't wait to see how this plays out, Seth.
I mean, like, I'll tell you what, the money team has got a chance to play 10 NBA players in the game, which is an absolutely crazy thing. But,
Let me ask you a question about that. And you made some great points about NBA players on rosters. They have to – there's leaders, real leaders on some of these teams. And if you come on their team – and I'm really looking at overseas elite. Yeah. If you come on their team and don't perform to a level, no, it doesn't work out.
Well, here's the deal. Like, overseas elite, you know, they're getting former NBA players. If those dudes think this is the NBA and you're going to have a dance for three quarters and in the last quarter you're going to compete, that's not going to work. Because my man, Big Daddy DeAndre Kane, he ain't putting up with that. DJ Kane, he's not putting up with that. Like, all these NBA guys, it sounds great. There's a line drawn in the sand in this thing. Like, every possession is competitive. I mean, there's toughness and there's no ego. Like, you talk about overseas league, they've won games because they've played with no ego. Like, Kyle Fowler would get it going. McCollum would get it going. DJ would take over. I mean, at different points in the game, different stuff would happen. Like, these NBA guys don't think, well, all of a sudden, the end of the game, you know, the ball's in my hands, I'm taking over. That's not the way it's going to be. It's just not the way it's going to be.
You know, let me throw a team out to you, the Men of Mackey. All right. I don't know that they have enough, okay? Octius is playing. Johnny Hill's playing. Guys, okay. But you know who is playing? Isaac Haas at 7'2", willingly physical, late bucket getter. Why? Because he's going to be around the basket. I think Isaac Haas is man masquerading as a mountain or mountain wrestling.
Not masquerading.
Yeah, okay. Seth, we've not had a guy like this either. A guy in his prime that, but we had Sullinger in this. And, you know, interesting that Carmen's crew won without Sullinger. But we've not had a guy like Isaac Haas in this set. That big, in shape, just out of college. Going to be interesting late.
So do you have the Men of Mackey as a sleeper team?
I don't. Like I said, I don't like what's around.
I don't think they have enough. Enough shot makers.
If you were going to say, okay, Robbie Hummel was going to play, you know what I mean? Maybe Ryan Klein was going to play. I know he's coaching. Maybe P.J. Thompson, some of the guys. Then I'd say, yeah, man, sleeper team. But if they had enough, like Haas to me, there are a couple guys in this tournament. Haas is one. How are you going to stop him? I don't know. Jayshon Tate. I think Jayshon Tate, who is playing, if he gets healthy, is an MVP type, the next DJ Kennedy in this league. He can do everything, plays really hard, undersized, but can get to the basket. But I don't know if they have enough around him. So guys like that.
Brandon Dawson? What about Brandon Dawson and Pete Hartfire? They're an interesting team.
Well, there's no Homer Drew, but you've got I'm anxious to see Isaiah Austin, right? I mean, Isaiah Austin.
Jordan Adams.
Right, athletic.
From UCLA. I mean, they've got an interesting team. Miller, Tweedy Carter. I mean, to me, they're a team that can kind of do some damage. I'll tell you, the Team Challenge ALS team, they improved. They got the best backcourt in the TBT this year. They've got a backcourt similar in a lot of ways to Overseas League because they got Tyrese Rice and they got Casper Ware. Those are two dudes that can get the ball anywhere, anytime, get a bucket, get in the lane, get a touch. And they got Marvell Harris. They've got Julian Gamble, who's coming off a great year overseas. Team Challenge ALS. And they are one of those teams that really are passionate. I talked to Sean Marshall this week. He said, Coach, he said, it's amazing when you pick up the phone and tell somebody you're going to put their family member's name on the back of the jersey, what it means to them, because they're honoring, obviously, people that have battled ALS by putting names on the back of the jersey. He said it gives them something to look for. He said, you know what? Legitimately, we've come close. He said, to win this tournament for those people, to put a smile on their faces, to make them feel good, to give them a good memory of a loved one. I mean, he got all emotional on the phone call. I mean, it was like, this is real. I mean, like, this is more money. He says, I'm going to keep on doing this till we can win one, so we can really do something just to put a smile on some of these people's faces and their families who have endured one of the most dreadful diseases in mankind.
Well, Seth, I would argue this. Like, a lot of people initially in this tournament, it's a bunch of old guys playing basketball together. No, I would argue that these are organizations. Like, I would argue that Eberline Drive, organization, been there from the start. You know, I would argue Team ALS, organization. And by organization, I mean they have a culture to them. They have a deeper thread to them. I would argue Overseas Elite. They don't practice, but they are who they are. I would argue Carmen's Crew. Carmen's Crew, the champions, are basically a group of guys that have been friends and great players that played together, are fan, like, support each other, whether it's family members. So I would argue what you're saying about Team ALS, there's all of them. Like, just because I would argue that the Golden Eagles team is a bit that way as well, Seth. I don't think all of them are, but I do think that it's moving in the direction of more and more of these teams are legitimate organizations, a legitimate culture. Let me ask you this. It was on Twitter this morning, and I don't know who posed the question. Could the championship team in this win the NCAA tournament?
Wow, that's a great question. It all depends on the team. Do they have enough over a weekend against teams that are truly prepared to take
three weekends? Three weekends.
Yeah, that might be. I think that might be tough. I would think that might be tough when you
me
have
too.
You have preparation, what you're going to get. But let's face it, there's McDonald's All-Americans in the TBT. There are guys that played in the Final Four in the TBT. There are guys that played in the league in the TBT. They're the best players in Europe. I'm going to give you a sleeper team. All right, and I'm interested to see if they can defend the three and get past her that. But I talked to Greg Fitrone today, an assistant at Rutgers, whose son is an assistant coach for the Jimmy V team. They've got an interesting team. Marcus Towns. What Final Four, Loyola knows how to play, big point guard, Josh Perkins, another guy with Final Four experience, Devin Kennedy, the kid at Princeton who played for the Nets G League team, 16 points a game, really high basketball IQ, Chad Brown played at UCF, a shot blocker. They've got enough maturity that they're going to be an interesting team if they get in. Let's go through the bracket real quick before we get Albert
Hall. Hey, one word about Kennedy. Kennedy, I've known his name since he was from Mishawaka, Indiana, goes to the Ivy League. And one of the great, I don't know him. I followed him, though. When you read about him, know about him, one of the great guys. And I wanted to mention that because you used the word maturity.
Yeah.
Make no mistake. In my time with the TBT, immaturity gets out quickly. Selfishness gets out quickly. Maturity against maturity to win it is what happens every stinking year. No question.
Yeah, maturity is the key. There's no doubt about it. All right, so let's go through the bracket a little bit just to kind of, first thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll War Tampa. Like, I'm going to say that War Tampa has got a chance to advance or against House of Pain. Now, Mount Dome is on House of Pain, but they lost Matt Mooney. War Tampa, bunch of guys from Auburn, really shoot the three. The Brown kid can really, really shoot it. Horace Spencer up front. They've got athleticism against Carmen's Crew.
You're asking me how
supportive. Who do you like? And for the FanDuel people out there, who do you think is going to take over the game?
Well, I don't think they're going to beat Carmen's Crew. And if you're going to ask me if this is a FanDuel thing, and you're going to ask me, I'm going to say in that game, mark my words, for whatever the reason, John Diebler is going to hit five threes in that game, six threes in that game. Just mark my word. I'm not mad at House of Pain, though. If Malcolm Hill can do, if he's in shape and can do what he did in college, he's a perfect TBT guy, Seth. He's been playing overseas. He's a bucket getter, mid-range. Michael Finke, is a shooter. Now, not having Matt Mooney, I think, kills him because he's a perfect guy. I'm not taking the Auburn fellas over Carmen's crew, but I'm not so quick to say that the House of Pain's going to lose to the Auburn guys because I think House of Pain's not bad.
And you think that Malcolm Hill could put up big numbers? You think
Malcolm Hill's a scorer, man. Malcolm Hill, I coached against him in freaking grade school. Malcolm Hill's been Malcolm Hill forever. But again, I don't know this. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. Michael Finke can shoot the hell out of it, top of the key, certainly, and mostly from the corner. I loved when they got Matt Mooney. I hated when they lost Matt Mooney.
All right. I'm going to say Big X is going to get past D3. So Big X. Right,
let me talk to you about that. So the Jackson team is out. The right. D3 team comes in. I asked Andrew last night. I said, tell me about
D3. Well,
he goes, Dan, they're more talented and really well coached. I'm going to take Big X because Nick Ward, and there's a kid, I can't think of his name right here, playing for Andrew's team that he loves, a big kid out of the Ivy League, out of Holy Cross. I guess he's been all over Nick Ward in practice. But I'll take Big X, but that's not going to be easy. They did not get a break, Big X, by the Jackson team bumping out.
All right, and then they could play Red Scare. Red Scare, Kyle Davis, really, really hard. Devin Oliver, very good. You got Mike Sell, who's got and Landers, who have something to prove, obviously getting their season taken away from at the end of the season. Who could be a big scorer in that game?
Jay Sean Tate, if he's back. If he's back, and I think he will be back for the second game. I loved Red Scare last year. They added Trevor Thompson, the kid from Ohio State. That's more media hype than anything else. Red Scare plays hard. They go to the basket. Now, I thought last year when I did their games at Capital University, even Muger and everybody involved with the TBT was shocked at the fan support. And Seth, it was home game for Carmen's crew. It was home game for Red Scare. They don't have that this year. I don't know how much that propelled them, but I'm going to tell you this. I'll take in that game if Jay Sean Tate's playing. I'll take Tate as a big-time scorer. If he's not playing, then I'm going to take Nick Ward in that game as a big-time scorer.
All right, I'm going to throw a game at you. I think Brotherly Love is going to advance. I really do. And they could play Eberlin Drive, who's lost a lot of guys. You think Brotherly Love, if they played Golden Eagles, have any shot?
No. And I'm going to tell you why. I think Golden Eagles is an organization. I don't think Golden Eagles loses a game to somebody that isn't 100% together. And I saw it not only in terms of my on the court doing Golden Eagles games, but I saw it off the court. And I've seen how these guys are so together. And I maybe I'm overestimating this. You know what I mean? Maybe you and I are too coachy. You know, maybe we're thinking about things that don't necessarily matter. But I'm just telling you, I'll take the Golden Eagles team over Brotherly Love or anybody that comes up against them early in this tournament. I just don't think Brotherly Love goes out. I love the Wilson kid for Golden Eagles. Seth, I got to give you one more guy late buckets. Tyler Parsons of War Tampa. Tyler Parsons of War Tampa played at Ball State. Tyler Parsons of War Tampa hit three game winners, including one at Notre Dame. Late in the game, FanDuel, if there's a thing there that says, hey, man, who's going to get the winning bucket, take Tyler Parsons if War Tampa's playing.
That's a good one. I'll tell you, if you talk about late bucket getters, I mean late bucket getters, how can you not go? And I did a little research this morning. I'm going to give you something that's crazy. I went through the history book. DJ Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
26 wins, most rebounds, most steals, second most points, first in field goals made, first in free throws made, ninth in blocks. Justin Burrell, his teammate, second in games played, 26, second most rebounds, first in blocks, second and two field goal points made. And then my man, Big Daddy Kane. I tell you what, like, you can take all you want and you can take all these pro guys. If this thing is coming down to overseas elite, team challenge ALS, those two guys, the substance they have, whoever wins that game, is win this thing. And I had Golden Eagles, and I like Golden Eagles, but I just have a feeling about Team Challenge ALS. When you start going through these stats, and DJ Kennedy, he is the LeBron James of the
team. Yeah, he is. You, if you're going to talk about the TBT and you're not going to talk about DJ Kennedy, I don't want to hear about it. Because DJ Kennedy, I mean, to use the phrase that's way overstated, he is the man, Seth. The man. He's the man.
Hey, right, you have one sleeper team or sleeper player?
Seth, I like Team Hines as a sleeper team. I like Team Hines they're together. It's two guys that are brothers that you know, went and created a team, and they've been in the hunt over the last couple of years. I'm going to give you a sleeper prayer, and I can't find out what team he's on. Nate Mason. You know the name Nate Mason?
Minnesota.
Which one's he? Yeah. What the hell team is he on? I just saw it the other day. Nate Mason, to me, was a fantastic Big Ten player. I was reading an article on Nate Mason the other day. Nate Mason is a guy that is in great shape, is taking this very, very, very seriously. He's been playing overseas. I think Nate Mason is going to be, after this tournament, a guy that NBA people, I'm not saying he's going to play in the NBA. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is that Nate Mason is going to be a guy that the NBA talks about. He's on CP3's team. Don't forget, don't sleep on Nate Mason. There you go. And I got CP3's team. I'm doing them on, I think they're on July 4th. And I'm looking very much forward to it. Very, very, very much forward to it. Hey, the guy running this deal for the TBT, he's also ran the Summer League. Albert Hall from the TBT joins us now.
We're going to welcome in the great Albert Hall, who's basically now helping and assisting and making the TBT a reality in Columbus, Ohio. So, Albert, your boots on the ground. Tell me what's gone on the last 3 days.
Well, first of all, I appreciate you having me. It's interesting. We are learning. It's an educational process for all of us. Really learning what it's going to take to execute an event like this, keep it safe, keep the staff, keep the players, keep everyone involved, you know, in this quarantine, in this bubble. And there's a lot of processes, but so far it's been working really well. I mean, imagine this, Coach. You have a player hotel, a staff hotel, a testing facility, and four practice courts all within three floors on a hotel. I mean, they don't have to leave anything. Get your work in, and a team room. So every team has a team room too, where they can go in X and O, strategize, talk, you know, game planning, whatnot. So we're doing everything we can. I mean, it's a lead up. It's a long, long process of getting through the quarantine and then getting prepared to play and then being able to play. So just step by step, we're learning different things. And then, you know, I take all the ESPN elements and the broadcast and all of that. And that's all part of the bubble that we're involved in too. So, you know, lots cooking here.
My son is there, and I got to tell you before I ask you a question.
No, your son's the mayor of this place. Just by the way, I'm just filling you.
Shocking.
That's how he rolls. But congratulations. I mean, just, you know, you guys, John, all kept just battling and figuring out and going, you know, forward. And okay, I'm sure there was 1,000 bumps in the road that you guys looked at. When the games actually start, okay, what is it, 3 o'clock on the 4th of July, how many people are going to be in the actual facility?
You know, in the arena, I'm told it was 50 at one point. It may have gone up, but you're talking a very bare bones crew. You know, you have your two teams, your scorekeepers, you know, referees, and probably a few other, you know, obviously your medical team, but it's going to be a very, very small contingent inside nationwide. So, I mean, to answer your question too, with John and his team, I mean, they've gone through every scenario, done an unbelievable job. You know, we've been really more of a sounding board and really understanding what it is. Cause truth is, for 17 years in a row, I've been in Las Vegas running the Summer League at this time. So we've been sharing different ideas, what's happening with the league, what protocols are they doing? Just everybody's learning. And, you know, kudos to him when he said, hey, I'm putting a flag in the ground and going to move forward. And there's obviously bumps in the road, but this thing has just continued to morph, but everybody is learning as we go. And, you know, if I was an NBA team, and I mean, I'm getting hit from different NBA people, but there's a lot to be learned each day, not only just from the event, but the players. That's the one thing that I've been taking notes on. You know, the players are going through a whole different process. You know, I've never seen so many food deliveries, and that's a whole protocol. You know, it's crazy. It's just like between that, you know, you have to communicate. You got your people that you want to talk to, you know, outside of hooping. And I mean, I think you just saw a bunch of smiles yesterday as the practice court started coming alive. It's like, man, some normalcy. We get to play ball. So there's that whole element as well.
Speaking of that, all right, so guys take the court for the first time in their practices. You've got a chance to kind of look. I saw a video you did. Did you see any hesitancy, or was it like guys are on the court, they're back in their element, they're freed up, they're excited about doing what they enjoy doing the most?
I saw no hesitancy, and that was really refreshing. I saw guys saying, hey, we're here, you know, warming up. They put some tunes on, they get some shots going, coaches call them together, practice is normal. That was really refreshing because, again, there's, as Seth, as you and I've talked to, and you know, I know you've stressed it on your show, you know, guys need that. They need that normalcy, that peace of mind. Like, man, I can just get back in the gym and hoop. And a lot of these guys that we've been sitting down, I mean, these are guys that are playing overseas. They have no idea what their next move is. They really don't, because everything's been on hold. You know, the NBA guys, they have their contracts and whatnot, but these guys are like, hey, I'm not sure where I'm playing. I'm not sure when I start. So this is really that refuge that they've been seeking. And it was great to see once they broke a sweat. I mean, it was like they were still, you know, right back in the gym.
You're asking, you made mention of it. Like you guys are asking a little bit of the players, but what the hell, the pot at the end of the rainbow is 1.2 million or whatever it is. So it's not, you know, like I told my son, man, this isn't digging a ditch. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's ordering DoorDash.
Well, 23 games, too. 23 games on ESPN. I mean, that's these guys have never had that, right? This is huge. And like they said, hey, I can build my highlight reel. I got people all around the world watching, 132 countries, whatever. I mean, they're getting a lot of love. So the buy-in and the commitment for them is great. And they've been really supportive. They're, like, excited that all the precautionary measures. I haven't heard one guy bitch or complain about that at all.
Albert, which is impossible, by the way, because you put Greenberg and I, you know, if the sandwich isn't hot, we're bitching and moaning.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Make sure we have enough Diet Cokes. We please. Albert, the idea of getting this tournament started and ended in basically an 11-day period, or, you know, a little longer, 2 weeks if you include the quarantine times prior, is that something maybe the NBA needs to? I mean, you know, you start looking at the NBA and you get a, you guys, you and Warren ran the NBA Summer League forever. The NBA is going to go a month before they even play a game.
What's challenging.
I'm looking at this and saying, wait a second, we need to move up our calendar.
Well, I think, and here's the thing, not to get into the NBA's business, but, you know, they had TV obligations to meet. They had to meet the 70-game criteria. You know, to get people into the bubble and quarantine is a process before they can even, you know, move freely and start to operate. The whole idea of 22 teams versus 16 and going right into the playoffs, it sounds good. It's meeting a lot of obligations, but we also know the longer period. I think the beauty of the format here is that after the first weekend, the bubble shrinks. You know, 12 teams are out. So that's the really nice part of what the format is here, is that instead of prolonging this and extending it and, you know, creating 7-game series and whatnot, this is a one and done. And the beauty is it shrinks. You're still able to fulfill it. You know, there's a competition level that's being met, but at the same time, you're not extending this thing real long. And I think there's something to be learned in that, because it is a drain on not only the players, but just everybody here. I mean, I haven't been outside in like 8 days.
That's the thing. I mean, look, but again, how are you and your staff on a daily basis? Like, how are you monitoring who comes in, who comes out? There's one entrance and one exit, right? Isn't that the way this thing goes?
Yeah, and it's all monitored. It's all closed circuit television. So they know if someone penetrates the bubble, like, they're gone, right? I mean, that type of thing. So, you know, the beauty is everybody here is trying to make this work. everybody, you know, when it says, hey, we're all in this together, it can literally say this bubble is all in it together. You know, self-policing, guys, we got to watch that, wear your mask. You know, everybody around here is wearing masks, they're using hand sanitizer, they're staying in their areas that they need to be. So, I mean, you know, and you motivate everybody. We have our team meetings every day. But like I say, now as people come out of quarantine, and this is the different thing, is you're seeing the teams that have the first round buys, they haven't even been here yet. They're just starting to show up. So there is a hierarchy as well. You know, the guys that are on a team that's a lower seed, they've been here, they got to quarantine longer and be on site longer. You know, the teams that have the higher seed, they get a shorter quarantine period, you know, as far as being here. So, you know, there's waves, there's different things that people are doing to deal with it. And look, it's all new. So we're figuring it out as we go.
All right. I'm going to ask you the last question, because I know you got to go to a meeting. Could you see the TBT champion someday getting an invite to play a game or two in the summer league, the NBA summer?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, it just depends on a lot of these guys, their current contract situation, right? And the timing of it. If they have an obligation with the team, or, you know, we had a number of kids yesterday who came in and, you know, were played in summer league with one of the NBA teams. You know, you always run into that. Hey, do I want to play on this TBT championship, or do I want to play on, you know, the Clippers summer league team? So I think you'd have that kind of dynamic. But, you know, I think if a team came through and ran this thing like an overseas elite has, they may stick together and say, let's give it a shot. It's not out of the possibility, that's for sure.
That'd be awesome.
And you're great, hey. Albert. Thanks for everything, man. I really appreciate
man. Stay you. Stay safe, brother.
Hey, man, you know, you guys, everybody's in this. You guys are fans, and I love what you guys do. Obviously, we work together on a lot of things, Seth. And Dan, I know, you know, your son's a great kid. He was funny, though, yesterday. I tell you what, he's liking this GM thing a little too much. I think he may skip out of Ohio State and just say, hey, how do I get a job doing this?
I told him, I said, hey, man, you know, GM, you don't get cut. You might get fired, but you don't get cut. You don't have to hit a bucket. Just, you know, act like you used to. So, yeah, hey, Albert, thanks, man. Thanks for the kind words. All right. Somehow we've lost our boy. The TBT starts July 4th. Seth and I, Fran Frischella, Tim Scarborough, going to be Jen Hale. We're going to be all over it. Don't forget to watch. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to the world's greatest podcast.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.